If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
President Trump had dinner with Republican congressional leaders last night. Are you going to finish that? They asked about his presidency.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to MSNBC's Ari Melber. He then continues the conversation behind the scenes just for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
As President Trump's allies ramp up their attacks on Special Counsel Robert Mueller, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan has decided now is the perfect time to get out of Washington. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. President Trump is already dealing with a mountain of embarrassing and potentially incriminating stories. But just before we started taping this show, we got another one about that infamous salacious allegation involving Trump and a certain sex act in a hotel room in Moscow, thanks to former FBI Director James Comey's new book.
We're back with our experts as we follow multiple breaking stories, including some explosive new excerpts from the former FBI Director James Comey's new book.
This is regarding Comey writing about Trump. He brought up what he called the golden showers thing, adding that it bothered him if there was, quote, even a 1% chance, and quote, his wife Melania thought it was true. Then it goes on. He just rolled on, unprompted, explaining why it couldn't possibly be true, ending by saying he was thinking of asking me to investigate the allegations to prove it was a lie. I said it was up to him.
Oh, my God, it's real. It has to be. Why would you ask the FBI director to investigate a pee tape if you knew for a fact that pee tape definitely didn't exist? That's like me saying, can you make sure there isn't a tape of me in 1994 doing Thunder Road at karaoke and then barfing and then slipping on the barf and farting? You know, I've always thought the pee tape was real, and here's how I know. Back when the dossier first dropped, Trump was asked about the allegations on Fox News. Now, pretend you're a normal, decent person who just got elected president, and someone asks you if there's a pee tape with you in it. You'd say something like, that's insane, or what are you talking about? Here's what Trump said.
Nothing's ever going to show up. There's never going to be a tape that shows up. There's never going to be anything that shows up. Now, I would be very embarrassed if a tape actually showed up saying something like that. It would be double embarrassed because I'm saying it. There is no tape.
If it came out, I would be embarrassed. That's like if your girlfriend said, are you cheating on me? And you said, look into my eyes, because what I'm going to tell you is 100% true. It would suck if you found out about that. Of course, this comes in the same week that the FBI raided the office of the president's personal attorney for evidence about the Stormy Daniels allegations. And in response, the president has openly floated the possibility of shutting down the special counsel's Russia investigation. If you're a leader in Congress, now would be a time to step in and exercise some oversight over the administration. Or if you're Paul Ryan, you could decide it's time to get the hell out of here.
The major breaking news from Capitol Hill, a seismic shakeup in Congress. The Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, is telling his friends and colleagues he will not run for re-election.
Today, I am announcing that this year will be my last one as a member of the House.
No! You gave us Donald Trump. You should have to live with him. Come on, buddy. I mean, you can't just clog up the toilet and then leave the dinner party. Stay here and get a plunger. Of course, for Paul Ryan, this is the logical conclusion of his term as Speaker. After all, he spent the entirety of Trump's presidency ignoring the damage Trump has inflicted on our political system and pretending not to even read his tweets or stories about him.
I haven't put a second's of thought into this. It's just not on my radar screen.
I'm not going to speculate on something I haven't read.
I didn't actually hear the comments. I only heard about those comments.
I'm not familiar with exactly what happened yesterday. I've been a little busy with some other tasks. I don't know the specs. I don't know the specifics on it. I really just don't.
Mr. Speaker, any comment on the Trump story?
Still
Trump.
Hey, how you doing, Alice? Good to see you.
Hey, are you reading the story?
What are your thoughts about what some have considered to be a threatening tweet from the president directly to Mr. Trump?
I've decided I'm not going to comment on the tweets of the day or the other hour.
You don't get to decide that. You're the Speaker of the House. You don't have the luxury of dealing with the president the way the rest of us deal with a crazy person on the subway. I'm going to bomb Syria. Woo! Oh, boy. One thing Ryan has always been good at is cloaking the politics of the modern Republican Party, the politics that led to Donald Trump in high-minded rhetoric, as he did once again in his comments yesterday.
I'm grateful that we have unified government that the president, with his victory, gave us so that we get all these big things done. We're going to have a great record to run on. So I'm really proud of what we've been able to do. When I took this job, one of my conditions was that we aim high.
Aim high? You support Donald Trump. Did you aim high, or were you high when you aimed? Of course, when Ryan touts his supposed accomplishments, he's thinking specifically of that massive corporate tax cut that blew a nearly $2 trillion hole in the deficit, a tax cut he once again celebrated yesterday.
Probably the two biggest achievements for me are, first, the major reform of our tax code for the first time in 36 years. Which has already been a huge success for this country. And that's something I've been working on in my entire adult life.
You worked on it your entire adult life. It literally had last-minute notes scribbled in the margins that no one could read. It's like if I told my wife, honey, I painted a portrait of you for our anniversary, and I've been working on it every day for the past 10 years. Could you tell it was you? So Paul Ryan says he's been working on this tax cut his entire adult life, and yet when he tries to brag about the supposed benefits for average Americans, he bungles it. Like earlier this year, after Democrats said middle-class taxpayers would only get crumbs compared to what corporations and the wealthy would get, Ryan retweeted a story about Hostess, the snack company, giving its workers free snacks as a result of the tax cut. Ryan added, "These are crumbs." Dude, you're bragging that because of the tax cut, people will get free Twinkies? I want health care and a livable wage. What's wrong with you? Look, let me put it in Hostess terms. Let me put this in Hostess terms. If you're bragging about giving away Twinkies while the deficit snowballs, you're a ding-dong. And that is a zinger. Ryan ran through a tax cut that will cost trillions despite spending years lecturing President Obama and Democrats about the deficit in government spending. Ryan even lectured then-President Obama about deficit spending to his face when Obama invited Republicans over to the White House for a bipartisan summit on health care reform early in his term.
The full 10-year cost of this bill has a $460 billion deficit. The second 10-year cost of this bill has a $1.4 trillion deficit. And I think probably the most cynical gimmick in this bill is something that we all probably agree on.
Look at Obama's face. That's the face of a man thinking to himself, only 8 more years until I can go kite surf. So Ryan and the GOP establishment revealed that everything they spent 8 years pretending to care about was a scam. Ryan wants to be remembered as a serious intellectual, but in reality, he'll be remembered as an accomplice to Trump, which is dangerous because Trump is somehow becoming even more untethered, if that's possible. This week, he's openly floated the possibility of firing the special counsel, Robert Mueller, and attacked him by name. And yet, Ryan insisted yet again yesterday there was no need to protect Mueller because Trump would never fire him.
On the president, he has been openly talking about firing Bob Mueller, potentially firing the deputy attorney general. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts haven't changed. I think they should be allowed to do their jobs. We have a rule of law in this country, and that's a principle we all uphold. I have no reason to believe that that's going to happen. I have assurances that's not, because I've been talking to people in the White House about it.
Talking to people in the White House? Who? There's no one left in the White House. True story. If you hold the White House up to your ear, you can hear the ocean. In reality, there's an organized effort among Trump's allies in Congress and the right-wing media to attack Mueller and lay the groundwork for firing either Mueller or the man who supervises Mueller, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Now, that effort has already been going on for some time, but the craziest thing we've seen so far from Trump allies and the right-wing media came last night from Sean Hannity, a.k.a. Cadillac Lurch. True story, whenever Trump calls for him, Hannity responds like this.
You're right.
Hannity was responding to former FBI Director James Comey, who compared Trump to a mob boss, and Trump apparently spoke to Hannity beforehand and knew what was coming, because before Hannity's show, Trump tweeted, big show tonight on Sean Hannity, 9 p.m. on Fox News. Man, I thought Hannity was Trump's hype man, but clearly it's the other way around. Trump spent so much time hyping Hannity's show, he's basically Hannity's Don King. So on his show last night, Hannity decided to take Comey's mob boss comparison and run with it. Run with it right off the rails.
If Comey thinks Trump is a mob boss, if he is in his eyes, well, let's talk about a family responsible for actual crimes. We'll call it the head of the notorious political cabal, of course, Bill and Hillary Clinton, the Clinton crime family. Now, the next, by the way, if we're going to go to crime families, let's look at the Mueller crime family. Last but not least, we have one other crime family we want to tell you about. And, well, this is near and dear to Comey's heart. We'll call it the Comey crime family.
Wow, you know it's bad when you're making less sense than Carrie from Homeland. Now, with all of the talk of Trump potentially firing Mueller, Trump tried to get out ahead of the story today, tweeting, I have agreed with the historically cooperative, disciplined approach that we have engaged with Robert Mueller, unlike the Clintons. I have full confidence in Ty Cobb, my special counsel, and have been fully advised throughout each phase of this process. I love when you can tell Trump didn't personally write one of his tweets. That thing is all lawyerly language except for the unlike the Clintons. That was the one thing they obviously caved and let him add. Can I call them the crooked Clintons? No. Can I have 3 exclamation points? How about 0 exclamation points? How about 1? Fine. Just as Trump gets more dangerous, Republicans are either quitting or egging him on. Republicans in Congress should be reining him in. Instead, when he calls for them, they answer by saying,
You're right.
This has been a closer look. Our next guest is an Emmy-winning journalist and MSNBC's chief legal correspondent. He hosts The Beat weekdays at 6 p.m. on MSNBC. Please welcome to the show, Ari Melber, everyone. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm very happy to have you here.
Congratulations on the lobby, baby.
Thank you so much. Really happy to have it. And he won't leave the lobby, no matter how much we try.
Well, it's home
He's
now.
Like, this is my home.
It's home.
You can see me every day on your way to work. So I want to you obviously are a legal expert. You use your background in law to talk about politics. You also have another background that you pull from a lot, which is you are a fan of hip-hop.
Yes.
You're a fan of hip-hop, and you often use that to make points. And you did just on Morning Joe this week. Let me show a clip real quick.
The only other person who's faced an FBI raid was Paul Manafort. 96 days later, he was indicted. And no greater legal authority than Curtis Jackson has said, when the feds come in the game, loyalty is limited.
So for those who don't know, you're quoting 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
And he saw this, and he actually, he commented on this. He chimed in. And it seems like he took your legal position on where Michael Cohen is right now.
He agreed that Michael Cohen has so much pressure on him, he may flip.
Yeah.
And that's what I was quoting from I'm a Hustler.
Yeah.
We are in a political world right now where the lessons of crime and hip-hop apply a lot.
Yeah. Well, here's what 50 had to say about it.
Harvey, he liked Trump.
Michael liked Trump, but he don't like him enough to go through that time for him. He ain't from the neighborhood.
Well, there you go. There you go.
And it's... It's true, he ain't from the neighborhood.
He is not. He's, like, famously not from the neighborhood.
Not from the neighborhood.
We got a little legal news I want to ask you about. So Stormy Daniels' lawyer said today and last week, Donald Trump said, look, you'll have to talk to my lawyer, Michael Cohen, about this payment. And today, Stormy Daniels' lawyer said Michael Cohen has basically said he's going to take the fifth when he's asked about anything to do with that payment. What does that mean both for Michael Cohen and what does that mean also for Donald Trump?
It's probably bad for Donald Trump. The reason people plead the Fifth Amendment to not testify is either they're guilty or they look guilty.
Right.
And that's about it.
Yeah, I guess there'd be no other reason. And now, if he takes the fifth, does that likely mean that Stormy Daniels is going to be able to tell her story? Do you think they're ultimately going to win this arbitration?
Well, I don't know how much you watch 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
She sort of told her story.
I guess that's true. I guess we've seen most of it at this point.
We've seen a lot of it. I don't know if we've seen all of it. You never see all of it in some of these.
Yeah, I think she's seen all of it. I want to ask about this. Obviously, Michael Cohen's office gets raided. Donald Trump very upset about attorney-client privilege. He has some supporters who agree with him on that. With your legal background, do you feel like attorney-client privilege was violated with that FBI raid?
No, because this is what's so bad for Trump. The FBI went to a judge and said, there's so much bad stuff in Michael Cohen's office and hotel room and home, we need to search all of it right now. And the judge said, okay. So there's stuff in there, and that stuff they can get. And if there's other secrets between attorney and client, they'll put that to the side.
The Washington Post had a story about how Mueller had told Trump that he was not a target of the investigation, he was a subject of the investigation. Trump took this as excellent news, basically took to social media to brag about it, to boast that everything, this basically vindicated what he had been saying the whole time. Were you surprised that he took subject of an investigation as good news?
So when I was practicing law, if you call someone and say, hey, you're the subject of this criminal investigation, which means you might be charged and you might be the next person to go to jail, they're not usually like, this is working out.
Yeah.
So it's really telling. And Donald Trump acts really guilty. It doesn't mean he's guilty, but it does look super suspicious.
Yeah. I would say he's the president of looking super suspicious. You obviously are very comfortable in front of a camera. You have some performer roots. This is, I'm not quite sure, how old were you when this was done? I guess we can tell by the VHS, 1989.
This is a play?
You did a play. You wrote and performed in a play in middle school? Is that accurate to say?
Third grade,
about the Exxon Valdez. And there you are right there. And is it, what is that prop? Can you tell us?
Okay. Your researchers are incredible because I've never discussed this on TV ever.
Yeah.
But I was very upset about the oil spill. I'm holding a fish as evidence. It was a talent show where people were playing the flute and doing things, and I said, why don't I write this play and star as the prosecutor against Exxon and cast all my friends in it, and that's what we did.
I can't believe this came after a flute. I will say, this is a kid, you look confident like you got the evidence. You got the evidence.
The best kind of case is when you write everyone else's lines.
Yeah, there you go. That's the kind that Donald Trump wishes he could have right now. Hey, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
This is awesome.
All right, now everybody, The Beat airs weekdays at 6 p.m. on MSNBC.
Hey, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Ari Melber, MSNBC. So you host a show every single day. How is the talk show experience different from the MSNBC experience?
Those live audience vibes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You definitely feel people reacting, and then you're pausing for that. Seth is such a natural that he's driving the moments, but it's very different. We have 1.5 million people watching live, which if you actually thought it through might make you nervous, but you're really alone in a room, and here you've got hundreds of people, so it felt like a lot more people just to me.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's that immediacy of the studio audience. So on this show tonight, we had some breaking news and a closer look in your interview. There was the Michael Cohen news that broke on MSNBC just before you came up here. There's also the excerpts of the Comey book that came out. How, when you're doing a live show, do you process breaking news throughout the day?
We make a list of the stories we're covering.
Uh-huh.
And we're always ready to revise it going into 6 when my show airs at 6 p.m. Eastern. And then while I'm on the set, the bar is a little higher. But if something big happens, mm-hmm. then the question is, do we go to that? So big enough, you know, firing of the chief of staff is going to make the whole show into that. Other news might become a new segment. Other people get bumped. And so in the live control room and me on set, we're communicating and making that call. And sometimes we get it right. And sometimes we probably get it wrong. And the next morning you're like, that was actually a bigger deal. That thing where the president was maybe going to start a war, but we didn't really get into it deeply. Like, so sometimes you second guess that, but you do the best you can. It's harder in the middle of it.
Do you also feel like you can go the other way on that, that we all kind of scramble around the latest major development and within an hour turned out actually not to be the most major development, or it's kind of a repackaging of something that we already knew?
That challenge always exists, but is more acute because, as Chappelle said, we elected a troll president and a troll is constantly trying to abuse attention. That is their main currency. And I've said Donald Trump is more chief content officer than chief executive officer.
Uh-huh.
So he'll tweet about the trans ban to get you talking about it. And he may not care whether 3 months later there's an interagency process that actually affects the troops. He really seems to care more about the headlines. So we have to make very clear decisions about when we're falling into that or not.
Right. Did you expect that your legal background would be so relevant covering politics? Of course, there's an overlap, but so much of our politics right now revolves around investigations, lawsuits, indictments. Did you expect your experience to be so helpful in that?
One, no.
Uh-huh.
Two, the only other times in the modern era we've had criminal probes open into a White House mm-hmm. were deep into the second term of Clinton and Nixon. Donald Trump, because of his conduct towards the Justice Department, had a criminal probe opened by his own appointees, Rod Rosenstein, within the first year of office.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, if it feels different, it is truly different. And not just because he is an entertaining person mm-hmm. or a very scary person to many Americans, but because of his conduct, which we shouldn't lose sight of. So that has made it a legal process. The third point is the darkest. Mm-hmm. Countries that have law and politics fused because of the abuse of law or rampant crime and corruption within the government struggle to maintain working democracies. And there's a real question about where America's headed in this environment when you think about law permeating everything because, well, the president's under investigation. His national security advisor pled guilty. His former aides have pled guilty. His former campaign chief has been indicted. His former deputy campaign manager was indicted and flipped and pled guilty. Mm-hmm. And they're not done with this probe.
Yeah, when you lay it out like that, things aren't going great.
It's what I do. I lay it out.
When you do this hour-long live show every day, how do you balance those big picture questions that we all have about where the country is headed with the day-to-day immediacy of the breaking news stories?
We try to decide when are we doing reporting and being proactive and when are we catching what's happening, and that is inherently reactive. So there's a tornado and you cover it, you're reacting to the tornado. That's a good thing for journalism because you're responding to facts,
right?
But there's other times where you say, we devoted a significant chunk of our broadcast, over 25% the other night, to probing the torture record of Donald Trump's CIA nominee.
Mm-hmm.
We could do that any night or no night. It's never going to feel like breaking news. We made a decision that given her record, Gina Haspel has been involved in not only overseeing torture abroad under Bush, but then destroying the video evidence of it, as we talk about obstruction and evidence. We decided to make that a big part of the broadcast. That's a choice. And some people might say that wasn't a top story that night or any night. So we think about that because we do have some influence. So we try to do it responsibly.
Yeah, well, you're doing a really great job. The show's really great. You're doing a lot of amazing original reporting and also just the reacting. I think your legal background has been really helpful kind of parsing through the craziness that is the day-to-day.
Thank you. And when you think about Seth and your fans who watch Seth Meyers, who comes out of SNL, who comes out of dealing with the facts, the punchlines only work, right, if they connect with what's actually happening out mm-hmm. there. I mean, there aren't that many punchlines that are just fantastical. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very interesting to see the culture and Seth and other people who really are leaders. I mean, he's funny first. I imagine he tries to be funny first.
Yeah.
But he's also a leader in saying, this isn't normal, or this is a problem, or look how people are behaving. And I don't want to be too grandiose, but artists and leaders in the culture and leaders in music, which is something I was just talking to Seth about, play a big role in deciding how we want to be as a society. So it's a, for some people, it's a scary time, but it's also a fascinating time.
Yeah, and I think you're really taking advantage of it to the best of your ability right now, which has really been amazing to see. And I'm glad we have your legal background, because there are a lot of legal questions that we have and I personally don't understand.
Well, so Seth was talking about Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. You know, if your bodyguard needs a bodyguard,
yeah,
it's not the greatest sign. And so when your defense lawyer needs his own defense lawyer, like, that tells you where you're at.
Yeah, even people who don't fully understand or are not well-versed in legal matters, when you hear lawyers upon lawyers upon lawyers, that just doesn't seem like it's normal or how things are supposed to proceed.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, guys. Really, this was really fun.
It was great. Now you got to get a studio audience down on the beat.
Every night. Well, every night. We'd like that.
Good. Bring them in. Thanks, Ari.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.